Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF Table. Tonight's show is entitled Financial Healing as a Spiritual Gift, and this is the finale. This is the last show of this five-week series for June 2016, and we are delighted and ecstatic for all those who have been with us for the whole month. We wanted to say give yourselves a hand and give yourself a round of applause, because what we've been dealing with, we know has been challenging. What we've been dealing with, we know it's biblical. What we've been dealing with, God has ordained. And so now what we wanted to do on tonight's show, we wanted to really just take everything that we've kind of talked about a little bit and give you, the listeners, the opportunity, if you would like to take that opportunity, to be able to communicate and talk to us and to talk to others out there and share whatever needs to be shared on your mind about financial healing as a spiritual gift. So I am your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table is Sister Mary Ann Williams. Mama is what we call her around the table. How are you doing this evening?
I am doing fine, and I'm just so excited to be here one more time with my PRF family. So I just want to give a shout-out to you and just want to let you know how much I appreciate you. And when I'm not on the show, I'm thinking and praying for you. So we're just going to get on with the show. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. So look, what we were talking about, what we've been talking about all month, is financial healing as a spiritual gift. And so we want everybody to go back and listen to the previous shows if you missed one or if you missed more than one. And how you do that is you can just get everything through our website, PRF, which is Possessions, Resources, and Finances, PRF Ministry, not Ministries, I-E-S, Ministry, MINISTRY.org. PRFministry.org. And listen, everything that you need, all the contact information, everything with our calendar, the upcoming PRF learning sessions that we have coming up, everything is right there, so you can access us. But if you're listening online and you want to jump into the conversation and have some real-time conversation with us, you can do so by calling 347-215-7934. That is the contact number that you will call anytime you want to reach us while we're live on the air here at the PRF Table. And so what we're going to talk about is, how does all this thing work together? You know, something interesting has happened, and I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but it's been a long week, Mama. It's been a very, very long week, and so many people are hurting. A good friend of mine, a brother from a fraternal perspective, got a call this morning that he passed away. Was at a meeting on Monday night and was found out he was in the hospital and was in good spirits, and get a call this morning that he's gone. When I tell you that God is allowing certain things to transpire, and when these things happen in our lives, regardless of how close or how distant we are as far as being connected to it, those of us who are wise are able to say, God, what is going on? Those of us who are wise are able to say, it looks like God is trying to get our attention. So I want to, I'm going to say encourage, because that's the only thing way I can look at it. I want to encourage everybody that's out there listening. Look, when things start happening in your life, not just in your PRF profile, but when things start happening, you know, there's some questions that really need to be asked, because God is actually doing some things. And so, Mama, let me just turn it over to you, if you will. And
yes.
Talk to us a little about what we've been talking about this month. What are some of the points that really stuck out to you over these last couple of weeks as we've been dealing with financial healing as a spiritual gift?
Okay. To me, first of all, a person has to want to just be a better person. And we, and as we're wanting to be a better person, that means we want our finances and everything around us to be better. So we have to take inventory of our lives and see what is working and what is not working, and we have to get rid of what is not working. And then the question is, now, how do I get rid of, you know, this bad credit? How do I go about it? And here on the PRF table, we are being taught how to do it. But we also have to have the right attitude. We have to have the right motive. We have to have a reason why we want to do, to be spiritually healed, you know. We all want finances. I mean, you know, we all want money to do what we want to do with it. But we have to also, within our spiritual, you know, in our financial healing, there's also discipline. You know what I mean? And we have to have discipline, and we have to want to sacrifice, you know, that, you know, my, for example, my TV picture tube is gone, but I have one show I like to listen to, but my sound is there. So getting another TV is not an option for me, because that's just not important now. And there was a time that, you know, I have to have my TV, but I really don't have to have my TV. I listen to the one show that I like to listen to, you know, it's a Christian show, and they're singing everything, and I'm comfortable now. And that has to do with me, you know, listening here to the show and just learning how to be accountable, you know. That's it. To be accountable for what I do and whatever I do. And in this situation now, we're talking about financial healing. So if I want financial healing, God wants to give, God has it for me. But then I'm going to have to, you know, okay, now I'm on the PRF table, and we're learning the different skills, and those of us that didn't have abilities and never even thought about it. Now we're getting some knowledge here. And so now I have to apply this knowledge, and I have to want to apply it, and I have to, again, like I said, have to sacrifice. That means I don't know when I get another television, and that's just not important. Why? Because the money I go to get television with, I could probably pay off another bill. So if I want to get, I can't just expect for God to drop it. You know, no, I have to do what I need to do, and then God to do what he already has done. It's ours for the getting. But we have to go through some steps, and some have to go through more steps than others. But the bottom line is that we have to sacrifice, because if our budget is saying we have $2,000 and we're spending $3,000, so obviously that's going to have to be some decreasing, and that means it's going to be sacrifice, and it's going to be hurting. You can't go out and eat when you want to go out and eat. You can't get this new dress, you know, when you can't do those things. So we have to first make up our minds. Am I willing to change? Am I willing to change my spending habits? Because if I'm not willing to change my spending habits, because that's the reason why I'm in the situation I'm in, then I can just go on ahead and walk through this, but I'm not going to get any results. Because, you know, you don't get results doing the same thing. It's not working for you. That's called insanity. So the bottom line is that okay. I have to be able to sacrifice. I have to want it. I have to work on my mind and continue to listen to the show and continue to ask God to help me to understand what I don't understand. But he'll help me, but do I want him to help me? Because if it's not in my heart to make the change will never come. Amen.
Wow, okay. Well, that's a lot. That's what Mama got out of what we've been talking about that Mama needs to do.
Yes.
Listen, y'all, sometimes you have to tell people what you need to do. You know, at some point we have to be honest, we have to be open, we have to be transparent with what's going on. And so I wanted to kind of recap a lot of what we talked about for the month. That's really what I want us to focus on, more so than giving anything new. And I don't want to let us leave this particular episode tonight with telling people what you need to do. See, that's one of the problems why a lot of people, in my opinion, cannot receive some of the things from God, is because people told them to do it. Well, when people just do it because you're telling them to do it, and you're not giving knowledge, you're not giving understanding, you're not helping them with their understanding. You're just saying, you just need to do this because I'm telling you to do it. Well, I mean, we're not dealing with that type of thing. That's not how God always comes to us, you know, just do it because I tell you to do it. No, everything in this dispensation that we're in right now has to be about love. So if healing is a gift that God has given to us, then whoever has that gift of healing, out of love, they share it with others. And it's the same thing with receiving. Receive it out of love. Don't receive it just because, well, okay, well, since you've given it to me, I'm going to give it. No, that's not the right attitude. When we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is really it just lays it out so easy for us. I don't want you to be misunderstood. I don't want you to be misunderstood about these spiritual gifts. And then he goes on to tell them, look, the reason God has given each one of y'all a spiritual gift. And the reason he's done that is so that you can help one another. So the whole thing is about helping each other. Notice that it had nothing to do with helping yourself. See, the reality is, if you have it, and it's about you helping yourself, then you'll spend less time trying to help somebody else. It'll put you into a place of being arrogant. See, just because I teach in this area of PRF doesn't mean that other folk cannot help me in the area of PRF. I have to be open to that because God has given that gift to people. He didn't give it to me just so everything in my life can be good. So we're talking about, okay, this gift of healing and helping people is so that other folks can be helped. And let's just deal with some of the basic things because we're just, again, wrapping things up from what we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks. When we talk about healing, one of the things, I don't know if you remember, Mama, saying was, as a definition, healing is the natural process in which the body repairs itself, right? So what does it mean to repair? It means to restore something. It means to put something back to a sound condition after something has been damaged and after something that has been injured. And we recognize and we acknowledge that a lot of people are out here living with financial situations that have been damaged and injured. If somebody's credit is not as good as it used to be, that's been damaged, that's been injured. If somebody is going through some stuff where their hours have been cut back, that's something that's been damaged, that's something that's been injured. How can it be repaired? What else does it mean when we talk about to repair as far as like being a definition? To make up for something or to compensate something for something. So when people have lost certain things or certain things are not there right now, when you repair it, you put it back to a place or you compensate so maybe that thing that you did that you had before that you don't have anymore, you can't get that thing back, but that doesn't mean you can't get something to replace it. If you go and you think about what happened with Job, in the beginning Job lost so much, but then when you go back and you look at and you read at the end of the chapter, you see where God restores. And what we continue to see people getting is, Job lost everything, almost everything. He didn't lose his life, but he lost everything. But at the end, he got double for his trouble. Well, see, we can't just, you know, if we're talking about financial healing, we talked about financial healing, and healing itself is a process. And so it says healing is a process. We don't go to the end so we can just have a hallelujah moment, praise God, should have brought a Honda. We can't go there all the time. We got to say, what went on? And so if you're asking God, if you're saying, you know what, I'm expecting God to heal me, but you don't want to go through the healing process, then you're missing it. And so what did we talk about? We talked about there's a difference between a miracle and a healing. Healing is a process. A miracle is something that happens that God doesn't need you to be involved in.
That's good.
But watch this. It's interesting. It's interesting, it's interesting, it's interesting. How we know that when Jesus left this earth, he said, I will leave you a comforter. I won't leave you without anything because I'm leaving. I'm leaving you with something. And that something that I'm leaving you is the Holy Spirit. It's a comforter. I'm leaving it for you to guide you in all things, to help you along this journey. And so that spirit, that comforter that he left, was to comfort us.
Yes. That's good.
Anybody who gets healed of anything is looking for some comfort. if somebody broke their leg and then all of a sudden their leg is back together again, but it still hurts, you can't tell me that person does not want comfort in that healing. Well, the leg is back together again. The bone is not broke anymore, but it sure hurts like heck.
Yes.
We're going to say something is missing. So that comfort that the Holy Spirit, the nature of the Holy Spirit is the comfort. And the Holy Spirit comes from God. And God created man in his image after his likeness. So God has not created us so that we will be comfortable in need of healing and not getting it. He created us in his image after our likeness. So God doesn't want to hurt, so he doesn't want us to hurt. In this area of financial healing, Mama, I'm telling you, it is so, so important. It is so, so critical. And we keep talking about it, and I'm not tired of even talking about it. Because of the things that continue to keep going on in people's lives, I keep saying it until he tells us to stop. One of the things that we really have to help people to understand is when you're talking about healing, there can't be this whole thing about it's just about instant gratification, right? Or it can't be about the Band-Aid effect. Well, what's going on with us in PRF and this ministry when it comes to conflict transformation? Conflict transformation deals with the short-term lens and it deals with the long-term lens. So we're looking at, oh, my goodness, this is what's going on right now. How can we help comfort through the Spirit? Through the Holy Spirit, right? How can we help comfort in that moment? Now, as we comfort in that moment, we're not just saying, okay, that's it. We're looking at, this is what we do, PRF, we're looking at what's going on later down the road. Because oftentimes when people are in certain situations, all they want is the short-term effect. And that's valid, and I understand it. And I'm the same way. Something happened to me, I don't want just the long term. Go through 5 weeks of PRF. Look, man, I'm trying to deal with this right now. I don't want to deal with this for 5 weeks. But we have to balance that. We have to find creative ways through God and through his Spirit. How do we deal with that? And we have that built in with PRF. But there's something that came up earlier, and what came up earlier is this. There's some questions that I want people to ask themselves. One of the things that I want people to ask themselves is this. How does financial healing actually occur? How does it actually occur? And when you think about it, what does that look like? How do we know somebody has been financially healed? How do we know somebody's actually accepted financial healing as a spiritual gift from God? Well, let's go to the scriptures. If you go to the book of John, for example, there's some background noise in the back. I'm not sure what that is. If we're dealing with financial healing and we look at the scripture, we look at John chapter 5. Some of us may know the story about the man lying at the gate, right? The gate called at the pool of Bethesda. A whole bunch of sick people was there. Crowds of sick people who were blind, lame, or paralyzed. They laid at the front. That means there was a lot of people sick. And when I think about what we do from and day in and day out and how hard I work serving PRF, I'm constantly seeing sick people. May not be physically blind. May not be physically lame. May not be physically paralyzed. But spiritually, emotionally, those things are real. And so those things being real, it's like, okay, what can we do? And when you read Jesus' encounter with the man, Jesus saw him, which means he knows what was going on with that individual before he even approached him because of who he was. It said, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been there for a long time. It didn't say anything about a conversation, but Jesus knew he had been there for a long time. This man had been sick for 38 years. Jesus asked him a question. Sir, do you want to be made whole? Sir, do you want to be made well? Sir, do you want to be healed? And the man comes back and he gives a response. I can't. You're sitting there in front of Jesus saying that you can't. Well, we're not going to beat up that guy because some of us have been in the presence of the Holy Spirit and said we can't too, if we be real about it.
Amen.
But let me just give it to you straight. He gives his reason for why he can't. Some of you out there that are listening have your own reasons for why you can't. Why you can't accept financial healing, why you can't accept that it is a spiritual gift, why you can't accept the help that other people are trying to give you, why you can't stop doing certain things in order to position yourself to be able to receive the gift, whatever it is. Everybody has their own thing. But Jesus, he didn't even deal with all that. He didn't even fuss. All he said was real smooth. Pick up your mat and walk. That was the shortest sermon. If I get up and preach that, out of the 5 seconds it took for me to say that, man, Joe wouldn't have me back there ever again. Because sometimes the simple stuff is all that we need.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you think about this, the way that Christ healed this man with so few words should have us saying, sometimes it just don't take all that other stuff in order to receive my financial healing. And when you go to verse 9, the next verse said instantly the man was healed. Right after that it said he rolled up his mat, or he picked up his mat, or he picked up his bed, or he picked up his sleeping mat and began walking. See, I really want people to get this. What happened, the healing happened in the spiritual before the man even did anything. It said instantly the man was healed. So as soon as Jesus spoke it, it was done. So why are so many people just still struggling? Paul said, let me go back to Paul, or shift a couple chapters up to Paul, to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's given each one of you a spiritual gift so that you can help one another. There's a purpose for healing. And if people don't operate in that purpose, whether it's healing, whether it's encouragement, whatever it is, if people are not operating in that, we shouldn't have any type of confusion of why so many things are happening in people's lives. It shouldn't be, Mama. We shouldn't even question it.
Yes.
And the other thing that we can glean from out of John chapter 5 is this. When the man was healed, he got around some jokers that was like, you can't do work on the Sabbath. This man picked up his mat and began walking. And these jokers talking about, oh, you working. So legalistic in their mind. They couldn't recognize what was going on. They didn't recognize this healing that had taken place, but the man did. And as he recognized it, he came back to them and said, you know what? The man who healed me, he told me to pick up my mat and walk. That's what he said. The man had to have the presence of mind to say, I hear what you're saying. What you're saying may be the right thing. It may be against the Sabbath. It may be against the law. But Jesus just healed me. See, there has to be a different mindset in everybody, just like this topic that we've been dealing with over this last month, financial healing as a spiritual gift. Everybody ain't gonna get it. Watch this. Can you imagine what would have happened if they would have got it? Can you imagine how that could have affected their life? Can you imagine how now they could have dealt with somebody in their own family or their own sphere of influence and say, I know a man that has the power to heal. He's going down. He's going down to Galilee. He's going up to Damascus. He's going back to Jerusalem. Go catch him, because I know what he's done, because I've seen it. See, sometimes we want folks to just be all involved and all that, and everybody ain't gonna be happy when you get your financial healing sometimes, because they may still be in the same spot. The Bible doesn't tell us in John chapter 5 what their situation was, if they were in need of anything. But if they're human, I can guarantee you this, they have some type of need. And so I want us to just take into account that as Jesus, as God, as the Spirit does what the Spirit does in the spiritual realm, there oftentimes has to be something going on in the physical realm. This thing is not an either or, it's a both and. Both and meaning both of these things are occurring. And we always are not going to be able to figure out which came first, the chicken or the egg. But my belief is, this is me, Mama, that things happen in the spiritual before they happen in the natural, even if you see them first in the natural before you even recognize that it's the spirit. These people recognized something in the natural, but they didn't catch it. They didn't grasp it. They didn't even receive it in the spiritual. They couldn't. That's not where their mind was at. That's not where their mindset was at. So I want us to, again, to really encourage folk, and we may, you know, the show's going to go as long as it's going to go. I want folk to be encouraged that you have the ability. You have the ability to receive financial healing as a spiritual gift if you want it. See, with this man who was lame for 38 years, when Jesus said what he said, rise, take up your mat and walk, stand up, take up your mat and walk, this man had three options. When Jesus said rise, he had an option to sit down. When Jesus said take up your mat, he had an option to let it stay there. When Jesus said walk, he had an option to stand still. See, he didn't make him do anything. He offered that healing to him free of charge. The same way with all these other gifts, including financial healing as a spiritual gift. They are there for us. All we have to do is be positioned so that we can receive them. God is not withholding financial healing from folks, Mama.
Right.
It's there. It's still there in the spirit. But there has to be something that activates God to release it. And for some of y'all that's out there listening, you are just like right on the cusp of God just saying, bam, here it is. It's opening the floodgates. Bloop. But if you're not positioned, if your faith is not strong enough meaning wherever it is, whatever level of faith that it is, if you're not there, you're just not there. What I'm going to suggest is, how about work on getting there? Let's go back to our good friend Naaman. Out of all that Naaman had going on, he kept going. He went to get his healing. Out of all of the bumps in the road, he's like, no, I'm going to get mine. Even when he said, forget this, he had some folk around them that said, no, you better than this. And so he had to make it up in his mind again, I'm going to get mine. And when he did that, oh my goodness, we see what happened at the end, right? He was healed internally and externally. And so you got to understand, if financial healing be a spiritual gift, because healing is a gift. I read a scripture the other day. It came up last night in Bible study about gifts. I believe it was in the book of Matthew. Somebody helped me to remember that scripture. But healing is healing. We talked about this earlier, right?
Yes.
Healing is not just physical. So since healing is not just physical, you have to be able to put some faith in that there's other things that God is waiting and ready and capable and able to heal us from. It's crazy to not even think like that. Paul did not corner every single spiritual gift in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He just didn't. Spiritual gifts come from God. We identify every spiritual gift that's out there, just like Paul couldn't. The less open, I'm beseeching you who are listening to open your minds, open up your hearts, receive it. Let God do the work that He's trying to do inside of you, because it's not that He's just holding it back. He wants to give it to you. I really believe that. Even for the folks that's messing up and doing a bunch of the wrong thing, He still wants to give it to you. He ain't going to give it to you until you're ready. See, for God to give you something and you're not able to take care of it would not be good parenting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I had a son and I let my son drive my car, and my son is 16 and he wrecks my car, then we get it fixed, and then I let him ride it again, and, you know, I say, all right, look, last time you had this wreck was because you was doing X, Y, and Z, and you told me about it. I appreciate your honesty, but you can't do that no more. Then he goes out there, and he drives and wrecks my car because he's drinking. Fix it again. Next time, eventually I have to stop giving him the doggone car. That would be bad parenting.
Right.
And if I continue to do it, and he continues to doing the same thing, the same behavior, I'm not helping him, I'm hurting him.
Yes.
But I don't need to be boo-hooing if he gets killed in a doggone accident because he likes to drive 100 miles an hour, and I know it, and I continue to give it to him. So oftentimes as parents, we have to do, and God does the same thing. Sometimes we have to withhold that thing. It's there. Got the keys right here. If you're not willing to go through the process, if you're not ready, I can't give it to you. So I really want people to, again, Mama, I want people,
yes.
And I say I want, meaning speaking from what I really believe from the heart of God, that He wants to just shower His people with financial healing. It is too much stuff going on for God's people. And I say God's people. I'm talking about those of us who are within the body, particularly in universal body of Christ, but even more specifically, those of us who are part of fellowships, part of churches, part of ministries. Statistics don't change just because we're in the church. Matter of fact, I say the statistics are worse because God has given us principles to follow and guidelines that we can follow and gave us guidance and sent ministries like PRF and those of us as individuals that serve to be able to help God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Another point, for those who don't want to receive this, you're not rejecting us. You're rejecting the one who gave the gift. I used to get mad when people just wouldn't accept PRF, when people wouldn't accept coming to our learning sessions or listening to the radio. It used to bother me very much. God had to pull my coat to and said, and I think it was because of reading scripture, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that makes it even worse. Now I got that knowledge. You know what I'm saying, Mama?
Yes.
what's your thought so far, Mama? I know I've just been going. I'm speaking from my heart today.
And when you were talking about God wants to give it to us, and you know, it's a scripture that says that God wish above all that we prosper and be in good health. So He wants to give us things that's going to help us. excuse me, it's a scripture in Jeremiah that He says, I don't think no evil of you. You know? He looks above our faults. So, you know, He's not looking at us and looking at all the all the ungodly things we do, because he already knows that. But he wanted to see us prosper and being good. He said, as your souls prosper. So that's an inside also and an outside. So he wanted, that's abundant living. And even though, because it is abundant living, doesn't mean that we're not going to have trials and tribulations. But we know who we can go to help us. See, so that's our hope. Amen. We have hope in Jesus. And Jesus he died on the cross for us, for me to have a better life. Because without him, I don't know what type of life I would have had. You know, just going around in a merry-go-round. And just me, but he died for all of us. So we all have this chance. We all have a chance with him. It doesn't matter. Because why? He says, because I worship of all that you prosper and be in good health. That your soul prospers. So that means he wants us to be whole. And it's just a choice that we have to make. But with that choice, we have to, like I said before, there's discipline and sacrifice. And are we willing to go through that process?
That's the question. Let me say this. I think there's more to it. It's not just about sacrifice. You know, those are these often buzzwords that make people just sick. Oh, you got to sacrifice. You got to be faithful. You got to be, no, shut up. Stop. Not you, Mama. Of course not you. But I'm just saying, shut up with all that talk. We're just throwing these one thing. You got to be obedient. What the heck does being obedient look like? Oh, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. What the heck does that look like? You know, let's ask the real question and deal with it in a real transformative way. Because you can continue. One of the greatest things that Paul has done, and I know so many of my colleagues love Paul to death. Seems like sometimes they love him more than Jesus because they talk more about him than they do Christ, except at the end of the sermon. But they love Paul to death. But Paul talked a whole lot about what to do. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And if people didn't listen or people don't listen to what somebody just says, then you got to try something different. You got to say, okay, Father, give me something different to go, because I'm telling them the wages of sin are death. The wages of sin are death. Okay, I ain't gambling, so what are you talking about wages? I mean, people don't always get it just because of the way you say it. So you have to do like Brother Fiesta talks about all the time that I used to say, you got to have the courage enough to care. And if we got the courage enough to care, then we'll be willing to deal with things in a transformative way and open up the conversation.
Yes, okay.
And begin to have dialogue and move to practical application. All of the times that you read when Jesus healed somebody required them to do what? Practical application. And for those who may be just listening for the first time, like, who are these guys? We're not taking anything away from God. We're saying, look, everything is with the power of Christ. Everything is with the power of God. Everything is Holy Spirit-led. We're not talking about not having. Again, I say to you, it's about doing both. It's both and, not either or. So many people have received the either or. You got to be obedient. You got to do this. You got to pay your tithes. Well, guess what? You can give 10% of your income and never tithe a day in your life. Because God is not looking at the fact that you've done that physical thing. He's looking at the fact of what's going on the inside of you when you gave. So you can give 10% of your income and you can call it a doggone tithe all you want, because the word tithe means a tenth. So yes, you've given 10%, but you ain't tithe nothing. Ran into somebody a couple weeks ago and they say, I give my 10%, but nothing gets better. I'm not in any better financial situation. I had a little bit of time with this person, but I didn't have a lot, and I gave that person my card. See, now, if you really want to know what's going on, where's the follow-up conversation to the conversation that they had with me that day? This thing about just getting the answers. No. Just getting the answers just to make it all right? No. That's not working. That's why so many people are going through what they're going through, because what they've been doing ain't working.
Amen.
In this area.
Yes.
So we're gonna as we get to the end, Mama.
Yes.
I'm gonna leave people with I want us to leave people with, we know that God has given us spiritual gifts. Each one of us has given us, at least one of us, at least each one of us has a spiritual gift, right?
Yes.
I want us to leave and make sure that when we leave tonight, that everybody understands that your spiritual gift is not for you, it's to help one another. If you're going to operate and take it as 1 Corinthians 12, you can't take 1 Corinthians 13 and then say, oh, I'm not going to really listen to what 12 is saying. No. It's all part of the same conversation. It wasn't 3 days later when that other, when a conversation of love came up. And so since he's given us these spiritual gifts, and he's given us the spiritual gifts of individuals as well, which, you know, people who have offices, apostle, the teacher, the prophet. They're for the body. They're for us to help each other. They're not just for my church. It's not just for your church. It's for us to help each other. So when you got somebody in my church that's in need of financial help, but then I come to go down the street to your church, mama, and you got PRF all up in your church. And in this, every month, PRF is going on. And people are being blessed, and people's financial lives are being changed, and people are putting wills in place and doing all of, but yet at my church, I don't even know what the heck going on at your church. But then here's what happens. People from my church go to work with people from your church. And then people wonder what's going on at your church. Well, what's the conversation at my church? Oh, they do that old crazy stuff over there. You ain't even know what the heck they got going on because you ain't even had the conversation. So it's a plea for our pastors in our various communities. Please get together and work with other pastors and churches and ministries so that your church, the people that God has given you, are able to have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen. That's good.
When we have a set, when we have a parent learning session and 20 people are there and all 20 of them say, I belong to a church somewhere, that's a good thing because that gives us an opportunity to help people. But that's a bad thing on the other side of the coin because we could do it at their church and more people can get it.
Yes.
But evidently they have to come outside of their four walls because it's not there. That's problematic for me. And so we're working, trust me, we are working very hard to actually make sure that more and more people are getting this information, is getting where it needs to be so that people can get the help that they need. And so I can say, just as a side note, I have been just, when I tell you on the grind, mama, I've been on the grind, putting the necessary things that have to be put in place so that we can offer what we need to offer for people. And I'm just all the way live with it. It's working. We know that it's actually working. We know it. And so we just continue to trust God. We trust God that he continues to just let us do what we've been doing and to even do it, you know, in a more transformative way. Has to be. I mean, it's not really even an option. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So let's take this in our last 10 minutes. And when I finish talking, I'm done, mama. I'm tired. I got to say, and then that's it. If you go to Acts chapter 3, in the book of Acts chapter 3, some of you may not know, Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit just came and just invaded the place, right? Not just the upper room, but, you know, everybody was in Jerusalem that day, right? Because they were there for that time of Pentecost. So it just totally just wrecked people's minds and mindset about what was going on, you know. Holy Spirit just totally showed out. Now, I want us to take a look at understanding what actually happened here. We're we're in the book of Acts. We're not, the Acts comes before Corinthians, right?
Yeah.
So this is like right after Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came, boom, it's out there. The Spirit is there. We don't see in Acts chapter 2 and 3 where it's a whole bunch of conversation about a spiritual gift of healing. We don't see that. We don't see that. But what we do see is the evidence of it. And when you look at Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3 talks about two apostles, Peter and John. They go up to the temple at the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're going to do what they do normally, which is to pray. And they get up to the temple, and they see this man who had been lame from birth being carried in. And so he's being carried in, and every day people bring him to the temple to put him beside the gate, called the Beautiful Gate. And they put him there for a purpose. It's a PRF matter. They put him there to beg from the folk going into the temple. Huh. Okay. But something happened. Something happened internally with Peter and John. Because as they were getting ready to go into the temple, this man asked them for money. They had been asking other folk for money because that's what he did every day because the people brought him to the temple gate to beg from people going into the temple. So let's make it real plain. Begging for folks that are going into the church. So what Peter and John, they looked at this guy, looked at this man, and Peter said, look at us. That wasn't the thing of being arrogant. It's like, hold on, I need you to focus your attention because right now something is about to happen in the spirit realm, but I need you to get your attention focused on us because what God is about to do through us, you have no idea. But if you ain't going to put your attention on us, and you got other stuff that you want going on, I can't give you this gift that I'm about to give you. See, that's the stuff that's happening in the spirit. That's not the conversation that the Bible is talking about, but that's the type of conversation that you can imagine is happening in the spirit in that short period of time. So then this man looks at him, and now he's eagerly looking at him because he wants some money, right? He's like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm going to look at you because you're about to give me some money. If that's what you say I need to do so you can give me some money, I'm going to look at you. How long I need to look at you? 5 minutes? Tell me how long I need to look at you so you can go ahead and give me this money. But it ain't happened like that. Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have I give to you. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Isn't it amazing that what they're doing is emulating what Christ did?
Yes.
They're emulating what Christ did because of the relationship that they had with Christ. And so if we have the right relationship with Christ, we should be emulating some things that he did. Did not Jesus say, greater works than these shall you do?
Yes.
To me, financial healing is a greater work. Because when unemployment is still over 5%, when it's higher in certain states and in certain communities, higher than the national average, that's problematic. So there has to be a greater work that occurs. But who are the people that has the gifts? Now, we saw what happened in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, Jesus said, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. Now, we see what happened in Acts chapter 3. What he says is, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, he put the power of his words into action. He didn't just say, get up and walk. See, Jesus was able to say, get up and walk, because he was Jesus. He ain't had to say, in my name, get up and walk.
That's good.
He had to do that. But see, we don't have exactly what Christ has, right? We don't have that. We don't have that like that. We ain't God. So we call on the name that has the ability to be involved in every aspect of people's lives. And then we give them the instruction. That's what Peter and John did. Now watch this. In John chapter 5, the man did what Jesus said. I'm about done. He did what Jesus said to do. But what did Peter and John do? What's different about what happened in Acts chapter 3? Peter took the man by his hand, and he helped him up. See, this whole thing, mama God, with what we're dealing with financial healing, is because we have to help people.
Yes.
That gift that that God gave to them to be able to heal, they had to help the man with the gift that God had given to them. And guess what happens? As they helped the man to get up, Peter helped him, but it took the man on his end to be able to utilize whatever strength that he had. Have you ever picked up somebody by themselves without no help? It takes a whole lot of energy.
Yes.
But when somebody helps you to help them, oh my goodness, it makes it easier. It works out the way that it's supposed to work out. And then you see, if you keep reading, it says, as they did it, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Okay, so if we're going to receive financial healing as a spiritual gift, then what happens when we can reach out to help you, and you take upon yourself to work with us, PRF, to be able to help you in your situation to receive all that God has for you? Then there's an expectation that has to come. God is not trying to give you a gift for him to feel unappreciated. God is not trying to give you a gift so you can just put it in the back of your window and ride around with it and it changing color because you live in a place that the sun is hot all the time in the summer. And that black thing has now become an orange thing because it just sits up there. You ain't taking care of it. There has to be something that you're going to have to be willing to do. And you may not have a lot of time to think about it. It needs to be from your heart. So it doesn't have to be anything that you think about. Lord, when the Lord get my credit straight, then I'm going to do this. Really? Why can't you do it right now? When the Lord give me a new job, I start tithing. Really? Won't you give what you have right now? Asking God to do things that you have the ability to do for yourself with him involved in the situation. This man right here, he needed help. And what happened in the spiritual, that instantly healed. He was instantly healed and his feet and ankles were strengthened. That's a spiritual thing first happening in the natural, played out.
Amen.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do with financial healing as a spiritual gift? Are you going to accept it or are you going to reject it? Are you going to ask yourself the questions or are you going to reject the question or ignore the question? Here's what happened in Acts chapter 3. When this man was instantly healed, when his feet and ankles were strengthened, guess what the Bible declares to us? He jumped up, he stood on his feet, and he began to walk. Okay, that's kind of common. Because what Jesus said was, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. So we have Peter and John that was there, and Peter helps the man up. And as
And again, you have to look at what was actually being said. What's written here? His feet and ankles were healed and strengthened before he jumped up. The same way it was in John chapter 5. Instantly the man was made whole. And then he picked up his mat and then he walked. The pattern is the doggone same. But here's what I like even better than John chapter 5. Because in John chapter 5, you know, Jesus was on the scene. So, you know, folks were just acting kind of crazy. Because they had a power and authority that they had a little power and authority. And they just, you know, thought they was big stuff. They didn't recognize who they were dealing with. So it's not just good enough that they jumped up and stood on their feet in this game and began to walk. Just like it's not just good enough for you to get your credit good. Okay, yeah, it's good, but that's just not good enough that your credit's not good. It's not just good enough that you're unemployed and now you got a job. That's good, but that's not good enough. Not for God. Here's what's good enough for God. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. See, so I'm going to suggest that people ain't coming to the church if ain't nothing happening outside the church. Everything don't happen inside the four walls. This healing took place outside of the church. And so you have to be willing to say, you know what? If God shall do this for me, then I got to go. I got to get to leaping. I got to get to jumping. I got to get to praising God. And then I'm going to go in because there's a purpose for me going in. Keep on going. All the people saw him walking, and they heard him praising God. So if you ain't willing to tell it, why's God going to do it for you if you ain't willing to tell it? See, what we don't know about this scripture, we don't know what this man's state of mind was. We don't know where he was spiritually. But something had to kick in, and something had to take over because he was like, I got to do something with this. I got to let it be known. Why was he praising God? Because he was in his condition. He's no longer in that condition. He praised God because he recognized where it came from. The first thing that was said out of Peter's mouth, in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to suggest that some of these things that people may be trying, some of the things that you may have tried that didn't have Jesus Christ involved in them, may be the reason why some of the things are still going on in some of the people's lives, Mama.
Yes.
When they realized that he was this lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate. What? Do you catch that? That they had seen. No, Joker, let's tell it like it is. They were nice in the scripture. Should have said that they walked by every time walking into church. That's what it should have said. They ain't just see him. It wasn't like, oh, we just seen him on TV. We seen him on Facebook. No, Joker, y'all walk past this man every single day. Y'all going up in the temple to praise God. While he sits outside and begs. Shameful. But guess what happened? By seeing what God had done, it brought all of them to amazement. This thing is all about God getting the glory.
Yes.
And he's just going to be out here putting himself out there. If we're not going to give God his just due when he gives to us what he can only give us, which is his spiritual gifts, and giving it to us through those of us who he's left behind, and that he will impart various spiritual gifts in to people who may not have them right now, who may not have come to Christ right now, who may not understand their calling right now, but is out there for us. So, Mama, any last words on this, encouraging last words on this topic of financial healing as a spiritual gift?
Just that we all remember that the gifts are to help others. It's not all about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's about helping others. And see, God is love. And he says it's the love of God that draw all men to me. So when you are helping someone, they're seeing the love because of that person. Because maybe many people could have passed by this person, but then you stopped. So then they just see that this person really cares about me. You know, they're not asking me to go to church with them and telling me about all what's going on. They just wanted to help me. And like Jesus said, what can I do? He just asked a question, what can I do for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's love. Because some people, you know, don't get love. You know, if you're homeless or whatever, you know, you're not seeing love for many people. But those of us that know, is to show love. And he says that's what draw all men to God. So you want these people not only to be that need assistance to be healed on the outside, but they need healing on the inside also, so they can keep their what they have received in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. All right. So listen, we're about to sign out for tonight. And we just really want everybody to just take what's been given. Take what God has offered over these last couple of weeks. Take it and do something with it. We're probably going to start off next week, Mama, with a brand new topic for the brand new month of July. There's some things that's really going on. There's some things that's going on with PRF. So one of the things is, and I'll just tell you, just go on to the website, prfministry.org, and go on to our calendar, and you will see that there are a lot of events that are scheduled for the month of July and even going into November. So on July the 11th, we have personal financial inventory, which we will be teaching at His Gathering House Church in Phenix City, Alabama. That time will be at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is a one-course cohort, cohort 16F. And then on July 18th, July the 25th, and August the 1st, same time, same location, His Gathering House, Pastor Bill Holmes, His grace is to allow us to be in that particular house to hold this workshop on Will You and Will You Not. And so what we've done is we've made it very easy for everybody. All you have to do is go onto our website, prfministry.org, go onto our calendar, and you can register online. Registration for this event will end on next Thursday for the July 11th course, and then it will also end on the 14th of July for the second course, which is Will You or Will You Not. Don't have to take both of them. You can take one. What we're going to say is, look, just come and get what God has waiting for you. And then on the 30th of July, we have personal financial inventory that is going to be offered by a webinar. Shatara Sherwood will be teaching that webinar. And I'm telling you, things are starting to really, really, really heat up kind of fast, Mama. So we want people just to, as I used to say, get in where you can fit in. You know, if there's a webinar, get in on the webinar. I got a call from somebody out in Arkansas today, right before the show, about an hour before the show, wants to do do some webinars with credit. And so, you know, God is moving. God is doing some great things, and we just desire for God's people to just come aboard. So if you have any questions, give us a call, area code 267-437-7999, or you can hit us up, admin, at prfministry.org. Or again, go to the website, and you can go and like us on Facebook. PRF Teaching Ministry is how you can find us, or facebook.com/PRF. And so with that, we say God bless you. We love you. Have a good night, and we hope to see you soon at one of our PRF learning sessions. God bless.